The ContraPodcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are taking a really fascinating look at the mind behind the legend, not Warren Buffett this time, but his, well, indispensable partner, Charlie Munger.
Right, and it may be the more, let's say, intellectually rigorous one. We're digging into his operating system, you know, how he thought, drawing heavily from poor Charlie's almanac.
Yeah, that essential guide. And it feels like Munger is almost this invisible mentor for so many successful people.
He really is. He offers this very integrated philosophy, and it tackles a huge challenge today. How do you actually make clear, rational decisions when you're just swimming in information and, you know, every expert is stuck in their little silo?
So our mission today is pretty practical for you, the listener. Munger basically suggests there is a kind of shortcut to being genuinely well-informed. And it's not about cramming more facts. It's more about building this really robust, connected intellectual toolkit.
Exactly. His core idea, really, the thing driving his whole career, is that incredible success doesn't necessarily come from being super intelligent.
Oh.
No, it comes from a systematic, and this is the key word, multidisciplinary approach to thinking, looking outside your own field.
Okay. So if you want better outcomes, you got to look broader. Let's dive into how we actually start building that toolkit.
Let's do it.
Okay. First things first, who was Charlie Munger? I mean, people know him as vice chairman of Berkshire Hathaway, right?
Mm.
But his background... It's pretty wild.
It really is. He was a meteorologist during the war, then got his law degree from Harvard, became a top lawyer, then shifted into real estate development, did well there, and then became, you know, one of the most successful investors ever.
Wow. That's quite the journey. Not your typical path to investing genius.
Not at all. And that's what makes him credible. He's the definition of a practitioner polymath. I mean, his own investment partnership, it generated almost 20% compound annual returns for, what was it, 14 years?
Like nearly 20%. Okay, so this isn't just armchair philosophy.
Absolutely not. It's battle-tested stuff. His genius was in synthesis. He'd take, like, Darwinian evolution and use it to figure out a company's competitive edge.
Right, like a business ecosystem.
Exactly. Or he'd use Pavlovian psychology to understand why the market was behaving irrationally. He connected dots others didn't even see were on the same page.
So he wasn't just, like, collecting interesting ideas. He was forcing them to work together for actual results.
Precisely. That combination of deep thinking and real-world success, it gives his ideas serious weight.
He's a theorist and a practitioner.
The ultimate practitioner of rational thinking, you could argue.
Mm.
Showing that this broad, integrated approach is the real engine for lasting success. It kind of inoculates you against that narrow tunnel vision thinking.
Which brings us to the book, Poor Charlie's Almanac. It's a collection of his talks, his essays. And the goal is to move us away from that narrow thinking towards what he called worldly wisdom. That's the aim, right?
It's the intellectual quest, yeah. Munger argued pretty strongly, actually, that our education systems often train us to be really good hammers.
Hammers.
Yeah, you know the saying, if your only tool is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. He called it the man with the hammer syndrome.
Oh, okay. Specialization gone wrong.
Exactly. And it's dangerous because real world problems, they don't care about academic departments. They spill across boundaries all the time.
So if the hammer isn't enough, what's the toolkit he wants us to build? You mentioned it earlier.
It's the lattice work of mental models.
Yeah.
That's the absolute core concept. Imagine like a trellis, a structure.
Okay.
And on that structure, you hang the fundamental concepts from different fields. Psychology, physics, biology, math, economics, they all interlock and support each other.
So when you face a problem, you don't just use one tool. You run it through this whole lattice work, use different lenses.
That's the idea. Multiple perspectives at once.
But hang on. Learning physics and biology and psychology, that sounds like a lot. You said it was a shortcut. How do you get breadth without, you know, spending 50 years in university?
Great question. He wasn't saying become a PhD in everything. He insisted on mastering the elementary, maybe 80 or 90 most powerful fundamental ideas from those core disciplines.
The big ones.
The really foundational concepts. He argued that's enough to get you maybe 90% of the way there on most complex problems. Like, you absolutely have to understand the math of compound interest.
Right, for investing.
Yes, but not just for investing. for knowledge, for reputation. Things compound. It's a universal principle.
And you mentioned he pulled from engineering, too. I find that fascinating for business.
Oh, definitely. He was huge on engineering concepts like redundancy and, crucially, margins of safety.
Margin of safety, like building a bridge stronger than it needs to be.
Exactly. Borrowed straight from engineering. Build your bridge or structure your business deal or manage your finances to withstand way more stress than you expect. You need buffers, backups, slack in the system. Reality is messy and unpredictable.
So it's like applying stress tests to your strategy, not just your finances, thinking about resilience.
Precisely. And if you only look at the numbers, the cash flow projections, you miss that resilience factor. That's where biology comes in too, right?
How so?
Well, you use Darwinian models, evolution in ecosystems. Think about competitive advantages, a company's moat. Why does one business thrive while others die?
It has better defenses, a stronger position in its environment.
Exactly. It's not just a financial metric. It's an ecological strength. How well can it defend its niche in the business ecosystem against predators, you know, competitors?
Okay. This is connecting a lot of dots. But I know Munger is maybe most famous for his work on psychology.
Ah, yes. The big one. The psychology of human misjudgment. It's brilliant. He basically catalogs, I think it's 25, psychological tendencies that systematically lead us humans into error. Predictable errors.
Like a bug report for the human brain.
That's a perfect way to put it. It's the debug manual.
Yeah.
And arguably, it's the most valuable piece of his whole philosophy.
Right.
Why? Because your own biases are the biggest single threat to making good decisions.
Before you even look at the facts and figures, you need to check your own thinking.
It's your faulty software first.
Yeah. Okay, let's make this real. Give us a couple of examples. They're so relatable. How about the social proof tendency?
Oh, classic herd behavior. It's that little voice saying, well, everyone else is buying this stock, or everyone else thinks this is a good idea, so it must be right.
Yeah, FOMO, fear of missing out.
Exactly. Think about any bubble dot-coms in 99, maybe even crypto crazes. People stop thinking for themselves because the crowd feels safe, feels knowledgeable. Munger hammered on the need for independent thought against that pull.
It's so powerful, that pull. And then there's the doubt avoidance tendency. This one explains why we sometimes rush into bad decisions just to feel certain.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Our brains hate uncertainty.
Yeah.
They hate ambiguity. It feels uncomfortable, stressful. So faced with a complex choice like a big career move or a major purchase, instead of sitting with that uncomfortable doubt and gathering more info,
you just grab the first okay-ish answer.
You got it. Just to get rid of the doubt, to achieve that feeling of cognitive closure, you slam the door shut on further thinking. Way too early.
Oh, man, I've totally done that. I remember buying a gadget once just because I was overwhelmed by choices and just wanted the decision done. Cost me a layer, of course.
We all do it.
Yeah.
So to fight these built-in bugs, Munger gives us tools. Two big ones stand out.
Okay.
First, inversion. This might be his most powerful single trick.
Inversion. Turning things upside down.
Kind of. Instead of asking, how do I succeed at X, you flip it. You ask, what would absolutely guarantee I fail at X?
Huh. So for financial planning, ask, how do I guarantee I end up broke? That feels weird. Why is avoiding failure better than chasing success?
Because major failures often come from a few specific catastrophic mistakes. Think about it. Huge debt, ethical screw-ups, panicked selling in a crash. If you clearly identify those paths to ruin and just don't go down them.
Success becomes more likely by default.
Often, yeah. It's his famous line, trying to be consistently not stupid is often way more effective than trying to be very intelligent. Avoid the big mistakes.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. What's the second tool?
The humble checklist. He was a huge believer, inspired by pilots and surgeons. Use checklists to avoid simple, basic errors caused by those biases.
So literally run through those 25 psychological tendencies before making a big call.
Yes. Did social proof influence me? Am I rushing because I hate doubt? Am I overconfident because of a recent win? It forces you to apply the theory to debug your thinking systematically.
It connects the lattice work back to your actual decision process. Make sure a bias hasn't tripped you up.
Exactly. Turns theory into a practical habit.
So stepping back, what are the big takeaways for us, for you listening? Beyond just stocks, theme one seems obvious, multidisciplinary thinking.
Yeah, the world's big problems, climate change, designing good tech, even just navigating your career, they don't fit neatly into one box. They're inherently interdisciplinary.
Right. Trying to solve, say, a public health crisis with only economic models or only medical models, it won't work.
You'll miss huge pieces. You need to combine perspectives for better, more robust solutions.
Okay. Theme two, cognitive biases and inversion. Recognizing our flaws and focusing on avoiding big mistakes, that consistently not stupid idea.
It's practical wisdom. Avoiding disaster is often the surest path to long-term gain.
Theme 3 feels like a life philosophy, continuous learning.
Absolutely central for Munger. Learning isn't something you finish. The lattice work is never done. You're always adding new models, refining old ones, updating based on evidence. He famously said he didn't know anyone wise who didn't read all the time.
So the ability to learn and adapt is maybe the most valuable skill.
He certainly thought so. And maybe one more theme. Ethical behavior as practical wisdom.
Oh, interesting. Not just as morally right, but practically useful.
Yeah. He strongly believed integrity, honesty, treating people fairly. These aren't just nice to have. They build trust, reputation, which are huge long-term competitive advantages. It pushes back against the idea that you have to cut corners to succeed.
That's powerful. Okay, Munger was also known for his very quotable lines, these Mungerisms.
Oh, they're fantastic. Punchy and wise. Let's hit a few. How about this one on why the lattice work is crucial? If the facts don't hang together on a lattice work of theory, you don't have them in a usable form.
Boom. That nails why just memorizing stuff doesn't work. You need the framework, the structure, to actually use the knowledge.
Right. Data without structure is just noise.
And here's the one that captures that inversion idea perfectly.
Lay it on us.
It is remarkable how much long-term advantage people like us have gotten by trying to be consistently not stupid instead of trying to be very intelligent.
Classic Munger. It just grounds that whole error avoidance idea in real-world benefit. So practical.
And maybe the most famous one, linking economics and psychology, the golden rule for predicting behavior.
Ah, yes. Show me the incentive, and I will show you the outcome.
So simple, so powerful. He used that for everything, right? Corporate pay, regulations, why people really do what they do.
Ignore what they say. Look at how they're incentivized. It explains so much.
Okay, this is all great conceptually, but how can you, listening right now, apply this stuff? Let's talk practical applications. Maybe that two-track analysis for a big personal decision.
Good one. Okay, say you're deciding on, I don't know, a major career change or buying a house. Track one is the rational stuff.
The spreadsheets, the pros and cons list, market research.
Right, the logical analysis. Mm. But then track two is the Munger track. You pull out that checklist of 25 biases.
And you debug your own thinking.
Exactly. Ask yourself, am I falling for the commitment consistency tendency? Like, have I sunk so much time researching this house that I feel I have to buy it now just to justify the effort?
Oof.
Yeah.
Or the overconfidence tendency. Maybe you had a good year at work and now you think you can just waltz into this risky new venture and crush it.
Right. It forces that moment of objective self-reflection. Are my emotions, my biases driving this decision more than the facts? It helps you separate the two.
That's super useful. And what about using inversion day to day?
Simple but powerful. Before you start any important goal this week, maybe getting a project done or even just managing your time at a stop, ask yourself, what are, say, three things that would absolutely guarantee I fail at this?
Okay. So for time management, maybe check email constantly. Say yes to every meeting request and put off the hardest task until the end of the day.
Perfect. Those guarantee failure, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you do?
Just diligently avoid doing those three things.
Bingo. You haven't even figured out the perfect system yet, but by simply avoiding the known failure modes, you're already way ahead. Consistently not stupid.
I love that. It makes it feel achievable. You know, the big takeaway for me from Munger and the Almanac is that being rational isn't some magic gift.
No, not at all.
It's a skill. It's something you cultivate deliberately with hard work and, frankly, humility about your own flaws.
That's it, exactly. Munger's life and work are proof. Extraordinary results don't always come from trying to be Einstein. They often come from systematically, humbly applying fundamental common sense principles from across different fields. It really is a roadmap for getting smarter continuously.
So, a final thought for you to chew on. What's one fundamental principle, maybe from biology or physics or just basic math, that you could apply to your biggest challenge right now, this week? See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.